Hello, everybody. Kyle Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. with Celeste Hackett. How you doing, Celeste?
Hey, Cal. Hey, everybody. Just so glad to be here with you, as always. We always have a good time.
Tell them what we do here, Celeste.
Bring you news and information and sometimes answer questions that hypnotists would find interesting, informative, or make them happy. Maybe sometimes we even bring you a little bit of entertainment.
I usually do that part, but I kind of sprung it on her. Hey, if you're watching this anywhere but www.calbanyan.com, go there because right down here underneath the video is what all text links and graphics and stuff that go along with this particular program. Well, what are we going to do today, Celeste?
Well, we're still working on the 10 keys of client preparation for successful sessions. And on our last podcast, we talked about how you prepare the client from the very, very, very beginning, from the very first contact with your website, on the phone, with your brochure, with your cards, and so on. Just, you know, first contact with the client actually is the start of the hypnosis session. Then we went into, you know, how to make sure that your location is going to kind of match the first part of your presentation with the first contact, and how to have a location that's not going to scare people away.
Exactly. You see, one of the important things that not everybody's getting in their hypnosis training is the importance of preparing their client for the hypnosis session. We don't want to just go, hello, glad to meet you, my name's Cal, let's go do hypnosis, and then start playing a recording or something start reading a script of some hypnotic induction and then suggestions for change. You really want to begin to introduce a person to the process, begin building confidence. One of my favorite sayings is, hypnosis is a confidence game. If you don't get their confidence, there's going to be no game. And so what we're introducing you to is some major points, the 10 keys really to successfully preparing your client for success. And now we're on number 3, first impression of the office. And we've talked about this in generalities, and right off the bat we're going to get into some specifics. Talked about it should be clean, it should be well organized. If your office is clean but in a shambles, then people are not going to have a very good impression of you. You know, Maureen and I have this thing, we say, you know what, if you could look inside someone's car, you'd get an idea of what it's like between their two ears. If their car is a mess, you know, trash everywhere, papers scattered, that's the way it is in between their two ears. And you know, you really, what we'd like to do is, every time we hire someone, we'd like to get a tour of their car before we hire them. But really, everyone makes these kind of judgments, and you want to have your office clean, organized, and you want to have some credentials on the wall, whatever credentials you have. For example, any appropriate degrees and certificates, and you've heard me go on and on if you've watched this before. You don't want to have unaccredited degrees. You don't want to have inappropriate type things up there. I remember I went into this one hypnotist's office. He had a very nice home and a very nice office in a finished basement. I mean, it was really nice. And he had credentials on the wall. Every credential he's ever gathered all his life. I mean, he had stuff on there, perfect attendance for Sunday school 1967, and spelling bee honorarium, and all this kind of stuff. And it was kind of interesting, but it also said to me, I'm not confident. And so I've got to put up all these credentials to try to impress you. What do you think about that, Celeste?
Well, that reminds me of a call I got not too long ago from a lady who said, I talked to this man on the phone. I thought I was going to be seeing a female hypnotist. I got to his office. The office was cluttered. He was going to be my hypnotist. And then he gave me some paperwork that asked for my social security number. So you got to be really careful, you know, as you present yourself. I don't know what anybody would need a social security number for, but the cluttered part was really a turnoff to her. And then somehow she had gotten the idea she was going to see a female. Consistency of presentation, again, came into effect there. She left him and called me.
Right. You know, we should never ask unnecessary information. But you know what? I bet you that hypnosis pro would have gotten away with asking about unnecessary information if everything else had lined up. you know, the consistency of presentation, and then this one little thing. It's like what you say, Celeste. If you do about, you know, 98% of it right, these little flubs here and there, people will just ignore them because you've done everything else well, right?
Yeah, and they want so badly to be well and to get better.
Right. They're actually, when they're walking in psychologically, they're looking for ways to validate the decision they made in coming to see you. And so having appropriate degrees and certificates up are important. If you have a bookshelf, you want to have professional books in view. Like if you've, you know, read books, hopefully you have, on hypnosis, hypnotism, working with people. If you're a counselor or have other kinds of related professional training, you want to have those kinds of books out on display. It says, hey, you know, I am a professional. I do reading and continuing education in the profession.
Cal, you know, another thing that comes to mind when you meet someone at the door of your house, I mean, you know, I work out of a home, so I'm always, you know, thinking about office in the home. And when you meet someone at the door, don't make the mistake of thinking that they're just going into your office and that's the only place that needs to be clean and tidy and organized. If they're going to see your living room, that needs to be organized. If they're going to see your foyer, that needs to be organized. If they're going into a bathroom, and most clients need to use the bathroom, you need to make that clean. And then, so the office isn't the only place inside. In my apartment, unfortunately, when people walked in the door, they could see my kitchen. This was a big pain to me because I constantly had to have my kitchen clean, and I'm somebody who likes to let dishes sit in the sink. Well, luckily, most people don't know how dirty my kitchen is nowadays, but that's one thing that you want to remember. It's not just the office itself. You want to clean everywhere that they can see, at least, and then also check to make sure that it smells good, because old garbage and kitty litter and stuff like that, or laundry that's soured, can start smelling. So you want to do that sniff test. That's what I call it. You go outside in the morning, you breathe the air out there, then come in and see how it smells, because that can be a huge turnoff for people.
Oh, I think that's such a good point, because people get used to the smell and you kind of get insensitive to it. And people who just walk into your office, all their senses are you know, kind of on alert and very, you know, they're tuned in to every bit of information that they're getting it as they walk into your office.
Yeah, and one other thing too, you know, when you answer the phone, you're not going to look more important if you're on the phone while you answer the door. You know, give that client your entire attention, shake their hand, look them in the eye, call them by name, smile at them, say welcome, get them settled in. You're not going to look more important by being on the phone or doing something else while you're greeting them.
Right, we're kind of moving right into this number four, which is the first meeting and personal appearance, and that you really need to convey, you know, that you are clean, you are professional, you're in line with your theme, your furniture is in line with your theme, your appearance is in line with your theme, and that you are there. With, like, just like you said, 100% of your attention is on that individual right now, and it's not, there's nothing else going on, right?
That's exactly right. And backing up just a little bit, make sure you give good directions, because some people can come in pretty upset if they have to look all around or try to read between the lines to get to your office. I have a CPA I recently went and visited. I thought it was very close. The directions made it look that way. She left out a couple of things, and by the time I got there, I was quite frazzled. So make sure your directions are easy to read and easy to follow.
Very good suggestion. And, you know, what we often do is we put a map right there on our website. We can mail that out to them if they are not all that internet savvy. And another thing we like to do is we put photos of both the outside of our office, because we're in a professional office building, and then also photos of the inside of our office. And it all helps for them to know that what kind of environment they're coming into. When they get to the environment, they go, like, I'm really here. This is just like that place I saw on the internet. You know, you are able to prepare them by having pictures on the internet. It's a very simple thing to do.
Yeah, and just for people who work out of their home, you might not want to put a picture of your home on the internet or your address. I just put my phone number, website, and my email address, and I don't let people know where I live until they book the appointment, and then I give them my directions to get here. And that works for me.
Yeah, but you could still put maybe some photos of like the hypnosis area in your office and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, that is a good idea. That's something I haven't done yet, but have thought about it. I probably will do that this year.
Some people are kind of afraid that it's going to be creepy when they get there. So the more normal you can set it up, the better.
That's real true.
Yeah. Okay, what's next on the list? Number five?
Well, yeah, what is number five? Hold on just a second. I'm looking at my computer. Oh, yes, hypnosis pre-talk.
This is a biggie. This is what most people think about when they think about preparing the client. Why don't you kind of give us a rundown on that, Celeste?
Well, the hypnosis pre-talk is all the information that you need to give them so that you can kind of allay any fears that they might have and know about or not know about. And you can do this, and also it gives you time and a chance to explain what hypnosis is and what it isn't, explain the components of the mind and so on, so that people have an understanding of what hypnosis can do and what it can't do and how our view of hypnosis differs from that of Hollywood. And so you really need to have some sort of a spiel, if you will, of how you're going to explain hypnosis and how it works and what they'll be doing today. Or another thing you can do is use a video where you videotape yourself giving the presentation, or you use someone else's. I use Cal Banyan's because it's really good. It takes about 20 minutes for my clients to watch, and then after that I talk to them and see if they have any questions.
Now, Celeste, you're putting together your own video studio, right? So are you going to redo the pre-talk and do it yourself?
Yeah, I've already started writing the copy. I'm just so busy with so many things. I keep, you know, I've about 3/4 of the way through it.
Good. Yeah, it's hard to find time to fix stuff that isn't broke. But I think that that would be great because, you know, I think that when people watch TV, a lot of them go into hypnosis. And so if you show a video of you doing the pre-talk for like 20 minutes, they're going to go into hypnosis. And then when they see you and you hypnotize them, it's really the second time. And everyone knows that each time you do hypnosis with someone, there's a tendency to go in deeper. Isn't that cool?
That's really cool. And one thing we didn't mention, I wanted to ask you about this because I think that a lot of people want to know, a lot of hypnotists want to know about this, and that is for those of us who take money before the session, do you want to tell them a little bit how you do that, Cal? I always take the money after, but I know you guys do it before.
Yeah, we decided to take the money, the payment for the session. Now, a lot of people will pay for. We do special discounts where if they pay for four sessions, they get the fifth one free if they need it up front. So it's not a big deal as to when we, of course, they pay before. But our decision was, I have another saying, people value most what they put time, money, and effort into. And so symbolically, when someone pays before the session, they're buying into the process. And there's a tendency for people to, when they pay first, at least to our way of thinking, that they come in with the mental attitude, okay, I've paid for this, I want to get the most out of it. And another reason we do pay first is because when people get done with the hypnosis session, sometimes you've had to run a little bit long and they need to hurry out. I'd rather them be able to leave right away if they need to. Another thing is after the hypnosis session, sometimes people are a little bit floaty and it's not really the best time for them to be working with credit cards and checks and that kind of thing. And so we just found it's more business-like. You know, we're not a restaurant where you give them a check afterwards. We feel that, you know, they've come in for a service, they pay for it, and then we, you know, follow up on our promise to do the work. And we've literally conducted tens of thousands of sessions doing it that way, and that's what's worked out for us. How did you come about the decision of paying after?
Well, Cal, first off, I want to say the more I think about that, the more I, the way you do it, the more I like it. And it's because right off, it shows that you have the confidence that you're going to do this work and you're going to do it well and that you know you're worth the money. And I think that, you know, really helps the client to feel like they're in the right place. The reason why I've never done it is because in the beginning, 2 years ago, I really didn't have the confidence. And since then, I've made plenty of money, so it's one of those things, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, like we were talking about. It's working for now. But this is another thing that I want to change this year.
Beautiful. All right, let's. You've got that outline in front of you. Why don't we just take turns going through the things in the outline? Would that be okay with you?
Yeah, and we're still on the hypnosis pre-talk. Do you feel like we went through all that?
Okay, there's a bunch of bullets underneath that.
Right, there's a bunch of bullets underneath that. Yeah, so I did the video version. You want to cite other references, AMA, BMA?
Okay, let me talk about that. If you do a video, what you want to do is you want to be dressed very professionally. If you're a man, you know, I come to my office just like I look right now. You're seeing me in a white shirt, a tie, slacks. Some of you don't know, but I have a ponytail. It's very neatly twisted up and nice. And fortunately, as hypnotists, we're allowed to be a little bit off the norm of business. And so I get by with that. But in my video, I wear a suit because you really want to, you're trying to get across information. I think I've mentioned this in a previous episode, that research has been done about how well people receive information from male figures. And you take someone that's very casually dressed or nice casually dressed, you know, and compare them to someone who is in a white shirt and tie or suit, and people accept information from someone who's more professionally dressed. And my job in doing the hypnosis pre-talk is to prevent, just to present them with some important information that they will accept as quickly and as efficiently as possible. So if you do a video, it doesn't hurt to dress up one level in professionalism from how you normally see clients. So be very professional. Celeste, what's next on the list?
Well, we did, I mean, I'm looking at your bullets, and I don't really know what you had in mind for some of these things, but that would have been, I guess, the video version, dressed in a suit. Then you said cite other references. Did you speak to that yet?
What I recommend people do in their pre-talk is to contain these things that are in the bulleted list we're about to go through. And so one of the things you want to make sure of is that you reference AMA and BMA, American Medical Association, the British Medical Association, that they have recognized hypnosis as being a valuable tool in working with people. And so it's not just something, you know, from a movie somewhere. American Medical Association since 1958 and the British Medical Association since 1957. Also, we mentioned that thousands of hypnosis sessions are conducted every year. So that they understand that it's a normal thing. It's not something new. It's been going on for a long time. Many different things, from personal change, breaking habits, improving motivation and mood, helping people to achieve more, and all of that kind of thing. Is there anything else you want to add to that, Celeste?
No, just going to the next thing. Real important that you let people know that this is a natural state, that they go into hypnosis naturally all the time. And also to let them know that, being that it's, you know, there's two ways to get into hypnosis. In fact, one is to be guided there by following instructions, you go into hypnosis, and the other way is that you naturally go there. That's very important, because people tend to not know that and think that you're going to do something to them, like cast a spell or something, and one end of the spectrum. If someone is frightened, they might think that. So definitely I would mention that this is a natural state that you go into.
Beautiful. And that they're awake all the time. They're never going to be unconscious or asleep. If in your inductions you use the word sleep, like one of the instant inductions that I'm well known for is the 8-word induction. And in that 8-word induction is the word sleep. And so in our hypnosis pre-talk video, I tell people, gosh, if your hypnotist used the word sleep, he or she does not mean normal, natural sleep, but really it's shorthand for close your eyes and go deeply relaxed. And I might even model it. I'll go like this. And then if I use the word sleep, that's what they're going to do. They know what I mean. It means close your eyes and go deeply relaxed. How about you, Celeste?
Well, then we also just got to make sure we tell them if you do fall asleep, we're going to have to wake you up and start all over, and we won't get anywhere. So just stay awake, but just go deeply relaxed when we say the word sleep.
Right. And that they're going to remember everything that goes on in the session. Now, it's possible that people will forget part of it, but basically, if someone's concerned about that, I'll say, look, you'll probably remember about as much of what goes on in the hypnosis chair over there as you do of any conversation. And so it's important to let them know they'll remember everything. A lot of people are worried that while they're in hypnosis, you're going to do something unethical.
Cal, that's the timer. The time is actually up.
Oh, let's squeeze in the last three items, okay?
All right, let's do that real quick.
Okay, we let them know that they can emerge from hypnosis at any time. All they have to do is stop listening, open their eyes, and they'll emerge. Anyone of normal intelligence can be hypnotized if they want to be, and it's not magic. It adds to their own effort, and that they still need to have some of their own effort. It's not magic. It's not a wand. It's not mind control. That this is something we do together that can enhance their ability to be successful. And then, we've still got six more we've got to go over in the next couple of weeks. Oh, a couple of things I want to add to wrap things up. I've been getting email about my Certified Hypnosis Pro cup. Yes, it's my favorite cup. And I know that we've not had them available for a long time. But by the time you watch this, you should be able to get your cup for something like $9.95 on the hypnosis.org website. And we also have some baseball caps with the Certified Hypnosis Pro on them. Great marketing tools. We'll get into that more when we do the marketing, 10 keys to marketing. And this is official. Next week, I'm going to announce right here for all hypnotists everywhere, the secret project that is seriously going to help hypnotists all over the place add hundreds, maybe even thousands of dollars per month to their income. And so, Celeste, wrap it up.
Yeah, this big announcement Cal's got for you next time. You don't want to miss it. This has been Cal Banion's Hypnosis Etc. with Celeste Hackett. That's me. See you next time.
You can learn about Celeste Hackett by going to familyfirsthypnosis.com. More about me at hypnosiscenter.com. If you're a hypnosis pro, then you ought to go to ourhypnospace.com and join the network and interact with hypnotists around the world. All right, this is Cal Banion. Signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banion and Cal Banion's Banion Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.